Hello and welcome again to our program. We're in Genesis chapter 14. If you can, have your Bible ready. In our study in the book of Genesis, we've seen stories about Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel and Noah and his family, which basically represents the Gentiles in this world. A Gentile is anyone who is not a Jew. Then Abraham and his family, that represents Israel or the Jews in this world. Also, there was a focus on Lot, who is Abraham's nephew. He developed a craving for Egypt, and we'll look at why that happened. He had his righteous soul vexed, the Bible said, and he ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah. What a mess. Well, sooner or later, we all end up in a mess if we don't give our lives to the Lord and let him have 100%. Here's the question. Is your all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of his word and have peace and contentment always? You must do his sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul he doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Thank you. and tell all the love he will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at his feet when our as you yield him your body and soul.
Well, as we get into chapter 14 here, we see the focus on Abraham. But as we go back to verse 8 of chapter 13, we see that then, it says, Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Then, when is that? After he had separated from Lot, which he was told to do in the first place, he was not supposed to bring his kindred with him. Well, a lot of problems because he did. Well, then we see here Mamre and Hebron. Mamre signifies fatness. Now, fatness in the physical sense is a large amount of flesh, but in the spiritual sense, it's a large amount of spirituality. And then Hebron means fellowship. So then, after Abraham was totally obedient to the Lord here, then we see the spirituality and the fellowship becomes much more a part of Abraham's life. Joshua 14 and verse 14 gives an example of that. It says, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Then we just listened to that message in song. It's my all on the altar today. Think about that. Well, Abraham had his ups and downs. He was doing the will of God at one point, and at another point we see he was working in the power of the flesh. And we all have that wrestling match with the flesh in this age in which we're living. And as close as we walk with the Lord, it will determine how we get the victory over the flesh. But we get into chapter 14 of the book of Genesis. The focus turns to the political world. And in verse number 1 and 2, we have four kings. And in verse number 2 and 3, there are five kings listed there. Well, after a while, it says in verse 4, there was a rebellion. And that is, They got tired of serving those five kings, and so the four kings rebelled against them. Well, when they rebelled against them, there's a counterattack, and we read here that in the 14th year, the ones who were being rebelled against came and they smote everything in their path. We read down in verse number 8, and there went out the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, and they said, all right, they seem to be the leadership of these five kings here, but they went out to try and battle against the others. And we read here in verse number 10, and the vale of Shittim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there, and that they that remained fled to the mountain. And they, that is their enemies, took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And so we have five kings, we have four kings, the battle's going on. But the focus in verse 12 comes back to the main reason that this is here. And that is they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Now, you remember Sodom set, Lot set his tent towards Sodom. He gets in the middle of it all. He really gets in a mess here. He looks at the land that can give him all the materialistic things of this world. Well, they took Lot, and verse 12 says they took his goods and departed. Well, someone escaped from all of that, and it says in verse number 13, they came and told Abraham what had happened. There came one that escaped and told Abram about what had happened, and here we see a tremendous Christ-like attitude of Abraham. He says, we got to help him. He could have said, well, you know, he's just being an idiot, let him go his way. That's not what he did. He's one of his family. Well, he goes and he attacks with only 318 men. Now, these warriors, you got five kings, you've got four kings, you've got the one group that is just tearing everything in their path apart. And yet with 318 men, it says here in verse number 14, he pursued against them and won the battle. Verse 16, and he brought back all the goods and also brought back again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. One with God is a majority. Doesn't matter how many battles there are out there. Standing with God and being totally sold out to God, as Abraham was at this point in his life, God's working the miracles for him. Well, Abraham's responses following the victory is interesting. It says in verse number 17, the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter. And in verse 18, it says that Melchizedek, the king of Salem, went out to meet him. And Melchizedek, however you want to pronounce it, I heard a story one time of a Baptist preacher who was sitting on an airplane, and he saw this Jewish rabbi sitting across the aisle. And so he asked him, he said, we've argued a long time about whether it's Melchizedek or Melchizedek. How do you pronounce that king's name? And the Jewish rabbi said, oh, you mean Melchizedek. And so I think if, no matter how we pronounce those names, we're probably going to get it wrong. In any event, we read here in verse number 20 that Abraham gave him his tithes. Now, this is a very, I didn't say tie like a necktie, his tithes, that's 10%. All right, and this is a very interesting type of Christ here. It would take us a long time to go into all of that. And then you have the king of Sodom, which, of course, is the world. You got a tremendous story here if you take the time to study it. We're just going to skim through it because we want to keep attention on the people who are involved in these stories. Well, the king of Sodom comes out and he says to Abraham in verse 21, the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Well, how is that going to work out? Well, verse 23, Abraham said, I will not take from a thread even a shoe latchet from you, lest you say that you have made Abraham rich. He's not going to have anything to do with that. He's got brains and he's using them. Well, chapter 15, we get into Abraham's vision that he has from God. And basically what it's talking about there is Abraham trusted God. He had faith. He hearkened unto the Lord. And he believed, he says here. And then in verse 6, it says he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. That is, he believed that he would make of him a great nation as he walked on in the will of the Lord. This is the first time we have the word believed in the Bible. He believed, Genesis 15, verse 6, and he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. Well, that's great. Way to go. What a wish. It would be great if the story ended there. But nope, it doesn't. We'll see in our next program, in the next chapter, Abraham's failure. It's just 10 years later, 10 years of circumstances, a lot of pressures, 10 years since the promises of chapter 15, and Abraham messes up, and he messes up bad. We're going to look at that. The thing is, if we'll just stay close to the Lord over a period of 10 years, Abraham got further away from God. We're going to play that same message and song again. Listen carefully to the message. It's very important. Is your all on the altar?
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly fervently prayed, but you cannot have rest on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body.